Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, or 1 through 14. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you to the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we see here that this is the Apostle Paul writing this letter to the Galatians. And most of these letters, as we read them, it is sent to a certain congregation. But the Galatian letter is written to an area. Galatia is an area. It's not just dedicated to one congregation or one church, but he's sending it to the whole area. So it's several congregations that he's sending this letter to. And according to what we read, what is the issue with the brethren here? Because he uses the word liberty. And he uses the word free. He uses the word yoke of bondage. So we have Jews and Gentiles at this time. What do the Jews want to do? They want to go back to the Old Testament. What do they want to imply in the new law in Christ? What do they want to bring in? Circumcision. So that's the issue that they're having here. This is why the Apostle Paul writes to them this letter. And before the lesson is over, even though he's talking about Jew and Gentile or circumcision and uncircumcision, even though we don't consider ourselves Jews, but because if you're not a Jew, you're considered what? A Gentile. So if you're not a Jew, then we're Gentiles. And so the issue, the problem here is that in Christ, there is no more, what, Jew and Gentile, but we're one in Jesus Christ. Even though he's talking about circumcision and uncircumcision, before the lesson's over, I want us to see how this letter, how these words can apply to me. How can they apply to you and me this day? So this is the issue here. This is why the Apostle Paul is writing this letter. And before we go into talking about and reading these verses again, Let's go to chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1. So that when we get to chapter 5, we kind of have an understanding of what the Apostle Paul has told him. Chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So he's sending his greetings to these churches. This is his greetings. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he's greeting them, and he's as he sends this letter off. Verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from this, from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So let's go back to what we said before. As the Jews are trying to bring in circumcision into the new law in Jesus Christ, and they're saying you cannot be saved unless you are circumcised in Jesus Christ. They're bringing in, according to the Apostle Paul, another gospel. They're bringing new words into the gospel that has already been established. And what does the Apostle Paul say here? He says there is no other gospel. Okay, so how can we apply this to us if there is no other gospel? We see ourselves in our time. There is a church, if we call it, across the street. There's one next door. There's two or three across the road and down the street. Why aren't we all together as one? Is the gospel the same? Because we're not preaching the same gospel. According to the Apostle Paul, there is how many gospels? So this is what we have to understand, is that there's only one gospel. This is what the Apostle Paul is telling them. He says, so if someone else is preaching another gospel, have him for what? What's the word that he uses? I'm sorry? Let them be accursed. So it's not no simple matter that someone else is preaching another gospel, even if it's me preaching another gospel. He says, let them be accursed. Because you're not only leading yourself to death, a spiritual death, but you're also leading what? You're leading more people in that direction. According to Ephesians chapter 1, what does the Apostle Paul say? That there's only one God, one faith, one baptism in Christ. So there's only one gospel. Jesus Christ came and established how many churches? One church. Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 and 17, when he's talking to his disciples, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he asked them, who do you say that I am? What does Peter answer? You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus tells him, God has revealed that to you. And upon that answer, I will build my church. So we see that the word church, as Jesus is explaining it there, is singular, is one. So there's only one church. There's only one gospel. There's a lot of people that claim or out there in the world that they say that if you tell them, hey, I'm Church of Christ, first thing they say, you guys are the ones that think that you're the only ones going to heaven. Have you had someone say that to you? Why do they think this? Because you say, you know, Church of Christ. But what we are trying to show them is that it's the church that Jesus Christ died for. It's the one that he established. That's the church that we need to belong to. Anything else outside of that is what? Is false. Is another gospel. So we might think and say, well, how can God be so cruel? You know, to say, well, why aren't they going to heaven? Why aren't they going to heaven? Why is it, you know, why only the Church of Christ? Can we answer that?
They've only gone part way.
I'm sorry?
They've only gone part way.
Okay, they've only gone part way. But see, that brings us back to the gospel, to what the Apostle Paul is saying here, that there's only one gospel. Everything else, he says, if you're preaching another gospel, he says, not that there is, but if you're preaching another gospel, let them be accursed. And so this is going back to the letter of Galatians. We see that that's the issue that they're having between them. The Jews are saying, no, you have to be circumcised. That's part of the plan of salvation of God. What do we say now? Well, all you have to do is be sprinkled. Right? All you have to do is believe to be saved, to be a child of Christ. Is that true? We see how they're having this issue then. We have the same issue in our time here. And so it does apply to you, and it applies to me. And so we see here that in Galatians chapter 1, Paul tells them that there's only one gospel, that there's only anything else, let them be accursed. Because he said, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, for do I now persuade men of God? I mean, do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So he's telling us about this gospel, this one gospel. He says, these are not my words. Who revealed them to the Apostle Paul?
Jesus
did. So they came directly from God, and he says, this is the gospel that I'm preaching to you. And so he emphasizes that there's only one gospel, and that's the one that we, as the Lord's church, need to follow. Because he says, do I now persuade men? Am I trying to please men or God? We fall in that temptation that we want to please men. This is what happens a lot of times. These men that are leaders in their let's say congregation or place. They're there to please man. and not God. But if our focus is on God, we don't necessarily please man, but we need to please God. And so this is what the Apostle Paul writes in chapter 1. Let's turn over to chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And he says, "We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles." So what are they saying? He says, me as a Jew, I'm not like the Gentiles. They're sinners. But we've always had God as Jews. But they've been disobedient to God, through the time. And so, but they look at the Gentiles and they say, that's a sinner right there. And he says, we are who are Jews by nature and not sinners of Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So Paul is explaining the issue between them. He says, okay, you say they have to be circumcised to be saved. The law cannot save. And he's talking about the law of Moses, because circumcision is a part of that law. But they want to bring it in to the law of Christ. He says, no man can be justified through the law. But then he says, God is giving an opportunity not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles for that plan of salvation. Now, we said earlier that if you're not a Jew, we are a Gentile. So guess what? God's giving you, God's giving me, he's given us that plan of salvation, giving us the opportunity to be saved in Jesus Christ. Because he says, it's not by the law, but it's by what? By faith. What does Hebrews 11 verse 6 say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that's where we find salvation, is in Jesus Christ, through faith. Once again, this is the battle that they're having. This is the issue that they're battling here. Yes, sir?
On that verse that you just gave us, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, three times it tells us that you are not justified by the law. Three times in one verse. In other words, he's letting them know, the law had a purpose and that was it. But it tells you three times in that verse that the law does not save. So.
But once again, they're still wanting it to bring it into the gospel. This is why Paul reminds us in chapter 1, there's no other gospel. There's just one gospel, one plan of salvation. But yet we don't want to believe that. We want to bring in our own little thoughts, and say, okay, no, this is what you need to do to be saved. And so let's go to chapter 3, because so we can get into our lesson. Chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth, or cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. There, what he tells us once again, that the law cannot justify, the law of Moses. But it's by faith in Jesus Christ. So now that we've read the these, let's go into chapter 5 now. Verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let's talk about this verse right here, because it has a lot. It has a lot to say in just one verse. What liberty is the Apostle Paul talking about here? He says we need to stand fast, and when I read this, he's not just telling you, hey, you need to stand fast. You know, no. He's telling you, you know, he's urging you, you need to stand fast in the liberty. What liberty is he talking about? Have we been enslaved?
Freedom
from what?
From
the law? From sin. Romans chapter 3, I believe it's verse 23, says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So sin is what he's talking about here. This is the liberty that we find in Jesus Christ, is the liberty from sin. What happens when a person obeys the gospel and is baptized?
He's washed away from his sin.
His sins are washed away. And it says that God remembers them
no more.
This is the liberty that he's talking about. Don't go back. He's telling him, don't go back to being enslaved in sin. Because instead of walking forward, we're wanting to walk back. Yes, sir.
The whole idea of the Old Testament Mosaic law was a reminder of sin, Hebrews 10:3. But in those sacrifices, there was a remembrance every year made of sins every year. The idea is your sins were never forgiven. It was just constantly poking and prodding you that you're a sinner. That was the whole idea, to make them aware of their sins. Whereas the liberty you speak of is a different system, that sins are gone.
Yes. Hebrews also, the writer of the book of Hebrews says that the law was a shadow of things to come. It wasn't exactly what it was supposed to be. You know, I think of a silhouette. You know, you see a silhouette, and you're like, well, it looks like Albert, but I'm not too sure if it's him. You know, because you can't see it clearly. Once that silhouette is removed, oh, it wasn't him, it's so-and-so. That's what the law did, you know, was a shadow of things to come. And Jesus Christ is not sitting on a throne here on earth, but Scripture says, and he says it in the book of Hebrews, that he's sitting what? At the right hand of God. What's the purpose of Jesus sitting at the right hand of God?
He's like a lawyer, helping us, making sure, providing for us and pardoning us, reminding everybody, God, I paid for that, their sins, I did this, I did whatever.
In the Old Testament, only the high priest would be able to go into the most holy place
once a year.
They had to sacrifice not only for the people's sin, but for their own. But Jesus Christ took that spot. He took that place once and for all. But it's not something here on earth, but this is why Scripture says that he sits at the right hand of God, because he is giving us access to the most holy place through Jesus Christ. So do we see what the plan of salvation is for mankind from God? I want to say it's either Hebrews or Peter says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what?
Repentance.
To repentance. So God is not only giving you the opportunity of salvation, but he wants what? He wants all mankind to obey the gospel. So when someone says, well, why only the Church of Christ is going to heaven? No, no. He gives you the same opportunity to go to heaven. It's up to you to make that choice. And if I ask how many of us want to go to heaven, I'm sure that everybody in this room would raise their hand. Okay. Jesus has already died. He's already paid the price for our sins. That's God's grace towards mankind. Even though we are guilty, okay? Don't forget, we are guilty of sin. But Jesus Christ was willing to forgive. And so, going back to chapter 5, verse 1. That's what he's talking about when he says this liberty that you have obtained in Jesus Christ, because he was willing to forgive you of your sins. So we've been liberated from sin, but yet not to serve, to continue to serve sin, but to do what? Righteousness, what is right. So this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying, okay, you've been liberated. You've been forgiven of your sins. Wherewith Christ has made you free. This is where we find this liberty, is in Jesus Christ. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So what happened, and before we answered this, let's read verse 4 really quick, because this is also an issue and it kind of falls within the same thought. Chapter 5, verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. Now, there's a group out there, or several groups, that say that you cannot fall from grace. They say that if you're once saved, you're always saved. Is that a true statement? So can a person fall from grace? And please highlight this verse, because this is... No, I have one. Thank you. Highlight this verse because, I mean, it clearly, the Apostle Paul is clearly telling us, if we disobey the gospel, if we fall back, he says, you have fallen from grace. Yes, sir, John.
Always say that if you endure to the end.
Revelations, I believe, chapter 1. let's turn over to Hebrews really quick, because I think the writer of Hebrews also kind of talks about this, not directly, but kind of indirectly, but he's implying the same thought. Hebrews chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? So what's he saying here? He says we need to give the more earnest. We have to pay attention to that salvation, that freedom that we have, that liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, lest at any time we should let them slip. This kind of, my thought when I read this is maybe holding a jar, you know, a pickle jar, and it slips right out of your hands. I mean, it just, and you say, man, I had a hold of it, but slips. No more pickles for you, you know. Have to pick them up off the ground. But he's talking about salvation. He's talking about your soul. He says, do not let it slip. And what does he say in the following verses? He says, if God, to those in the Old Testament that disobeyed, what happened to them? They received a just reward for either being obedient or being disobedient. They received their just reward. He said, how shall we, verse 3 says, how shall we escape? So he's talking about us. If we're disobedient, what do we expect? God is the just. He's a just God. Okay? What we receive is not God wanting to punish you, but it's what we have. What's the word? I'm sorry? It's what we've earned. This is what I worked for. So if we're evil, you know, what do we expect? It's simple. God doesn't make things complicated for mankind. It's man that complicates things in this world. Yes, sir.
One thing is very important, and I try to tell everybody that's baptized this, it's not just starting as a Christian, it's you have to finish as a Christian. Christ, God doesn't promise you a lovey-dovey life. You're going to go through a lot of things. Satan's going to try to get you back, but you have to be faithful to the Word, faithful to Christ, and eventually you'll be with Him forever. But it depends on us. Once God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, they already did their job. Now it's up to us to continue faithfully until the end.
That's right. So it falls back on you and on me. We have been liberated from sin is what the Apostle Paul is telling us. Continue in that liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. Yes, ma'am.
And like, as a school teacher with the little kids, we teach them the rules at the very beginning of the school year. We teach them, we go over them every day. We tell them when they misbehave, we're like, okay, well, that's what you wanted because we asked you to do this and you didn't listen, you know the rules. So it's the same with the Bible. It's the same with any Christian. When we're new to Christianity, we're learning the rules. We have to review those rules every day. We have to go over.
from there, once we know the rules, it's up to us. If we follow them, then we get our reward. If we decide, oh, you know what, I don't think it's going to matter. You know what, it does matter. Those are the rules. You don't follow the rules, you're not going to get the good reward. You're going to get the punishment of what comes.
Exactly. And I like to say this, that only good people die. You know, and I say that because every time a person dies, where's he going? A person's going directly to heaven, isn't he? Oh, he was a good person. You know, or she was, you know, this person was great. So only good people die, you know. But it's not true. You know, that is not true. And so let's go back because we're down to 5 minutes. Let's go back to the book of Galatians. So now we see that we have been liberated from sin through Jesus Christ. And it is possible to fall from grace. Let's go with verse 13 and we'll end with this, our lesson with this verse. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the Apostle Paul is saying here, continue in that liberty. But don't use it for wrong. Just because we've obeyed the gospel, we've been forgiven of our sins, we've been liberated from that sinful world. He says, don't use it as an occasion to go back. You know, well, I'm free now, you know. No, use it. He says, love one another. Help one another. Encourage one another. So, with the last few minutes that we have, we've learned that there's only one gospel, according to what Paul says here. There's only one gospel. God, through his son, Jesus Christ, gives us that liberty, that freedom of sin, forgives us of our sins. Let's not go back and be entangled with the world and sin. I think that Romans chapter 6 is a good chapter to read. You know, and it helps us understand this and helps us understand what baptism does for us. And, you know, he has liberated us from sin to serve God. Not to go back like the pig, you know. What does Scripture say about the pig? You take him a bath, wash him up. What does he do? He goes back to the mud. Yes, sir.
One very important verse, brother, is this. It is found in James 2:10, where it says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all." So it just going to say, I just want a certain part of the Old Testament. If you're going to complete it, you have to do it all, because if you miss it one point, you're guilty of all.
And here in Galatians, you know, he says that the law, and it's kind of, you have to kind of study, but you know, to understand what he's saying. He says the law is based on love your neighbor as yourself. If you could take this statement and apply it, you're able to handle the whole law. Love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Imagine if we could follow this statement here. Love your neighbor as yourself. Just think about it. If everyone could practice this, what kind of city, what kind of world would we have? There wouldn't be that much crime, I can tell you that. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to want to hurt your neighbor or do wrong to your neighbor. So this is kind of the thought behind this. Any more comments that we'd like to make or add to the lesson? Something we might have left out? So thank you once again for your attention, and let us take this lesson and apply it in our daily lives. Remember that we have been set free from sin, for those of us that have obeyed the gospel. And if you have not obeyed, God gives you the opportunity to obey the gospel and be forgiven of your sins. Thank you very much.